Hello and welcome to another episode of Modes. I'm your host, Rachel Premack. So this past year, I would say we've been writing a lot on FreightWaves about the so-called Great Purge, the new trucking bloodbath, really just trying to explore and dig in a little bit about these new trucking fleets, especially on the smaller side that are getting forced out of the market again amid this kind of ongoing correction in the trucking industry. So today we've got a professor to talk with us about some new research that he co-authored about job destruction and job dynamics in the trucking industry. So let's welcome in our guest, Jonathan Fares from Iowa State University. Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rachel. Great to be here.
Yeah. So your research that you co-authored with Jason Miller of Michigan State and Stephen Burks of the University of Minnesota Morris found that younger carriers have a much higher job destruction rate compared to older firms. And you sent along this really great chart, if we get that on the screen. So in 2020, you wrote to me that around 32% of for-hire carriers failed during their first year of operation. And then of those that survived that first year, 18% of those carriers failed during their second year of operation. Obviously, you know, 2020, not a, a bit an atypical year for trucking, but why is it that these small trucking firms tend to have such a higher rate of exit compared to older ones?
Well, it's kind of interesting because the advantage that small trucking firms have over the older trucking firms, or small and younger trucking firms have over the older trucking firms, is that they tend to be nimbler, so they can move with the dynamics of the market a little better. They can change their strategy as necessary. They tend to have a bit more flexible human resources structure, and they have an incentive to grow. However, on the flip side is being small and young, they tend to also have a failure to understand their own cost structure. So how should they price their freight other than just taking the market rates? They have challenges with understanding how to sell their services to shippers who may be hesitant because these small and young carriers don't have a great track record yet that they can use as a selling point to shippers. And then sometimes and often we see that they have issues with making contingency plans in the event that loads decline. And so as volume decreases for them, they don't have a lot of other options because they may have had challenges with getting solid contracts with consistent shippers, or they may have challenges with, as I mentioned earlier, being able to sell their service to begin with.
So, and just to check your research that you were part of, this really was concerning small fleets, not so much the owner operator side. Really, just like how many drivers would these fleets have to employ in order to be part of this, sample that you gathered?
Sure. So we do have owner operators within the data because they are establishments to start. But then what we're looking at is those carriers that have grown. So an owner operator in 1 year may add, additional drivers or a clerk or someone to help bring in more freight. And so we are predominantly looking at carriers that are not owner operators anymore, that are actually growing over time in the number of trucks and drivers that they're employing.
Okay. All right. And then another interesting finding from your research was that one-year-old carriers create jobs almost 37% more rapidly than five-year-old firms. So it's almost like it's easy or maybe easier to find a job at one of these smaller, younger firms. But, in a year or two, you might find yourself out of a job. I guess, yeah, tell us a little bit about this dynamic where there's a lot of new jobs being created by these young firms and old and jobs being destroyed by these young firms.
Sure. So the first point you made about how it may be easier to find a job with these smaller carriers, that comes from a number of facets is that, you know, these smaller carriers are hungry and they're trying to grow. So they want to hire more drivers to bring in more freight. But then they have those more flexible human resources structures. So they're maybe a little bit more willing to take a chance on a newer driver or a younger driver who may not be nearly as appealing to a larger carrier that hasn't paid for their training.
Okay.
I'm sorry, what was the second part of your question?
Really, I think you basically answered what I was hoping to learn about, just how these jobs are, like, it's kind of an easy in, easy out situation. I feel like that training part is an interesting side of, you know, you like a lot of these jobs or a lot of these loads that you probably carry for, you know, any sort of trucking company or any sort of broker. There are certain requirements. You have to have 6 months on your driving record, or even 2 years, or more than, you know, several years. So if you're someone who just starting, maybe you don't want to work for, you know, a mega fleet in particular, it seems like working for one of these smaller, newer, less established firms is the best way to go if you're just looking for a job.
It's certainly an option. These smaller carriers are going to tend to be a bit more personal with the employees that they have. But again, it comes with the risk of the carrier not existing within a couple of years. So again, it comes back to the kind of the balance of what the drivers are trying to get out of their career. Are they trying to you know, get out on the road, see the country, and make some money in the process? Or are they trying to, you know, stay close to home, work with a carrier who, you know, the owner or the operator, you know, has a bit more of a, cares a bit more for the driver themselves, and how they're doing and, you know, how successful that they are.
What would you say kind of sets apart the carriers that, you know, fail in that first one, to, you know, first or second year versus the ones that make it to year 5, year 10 and beyond?
Well, so first of all, it would be kind of the opposite of what I already mentioned as to why these carriers fail. Having a really good understanding of your business, of, you know, your pricing, your expenses, how to manage those expenses, not taking on a lot of debt on the front end, if possible. And then beyond that, being able to find shippers that are willing to take a chance on small carriers that don't have a great track record. Those carriers are going to be very successful. So if you have drivers or owners who may have worked previously for, you know, the mega carriers, trying to bring over that experience into the sales pitch is going to be useful. Finding your way into a platform like Uber Freight or Carrier 360 from J.B. Hunt will give you the opportunity to access more loads without a lot of overhead. But then, to be honest, there's a potential that there's a fair bit of luck associated with it as well. Because these load volumes are often contingent on shippers' success. So if you're in an economic downturn, going to work for a small young shipper or starting up, or excuse me, small young carrier or starting up a new carrier, that may be the worst time to do such things, because we can see load volumes going down. And that's what we've seen in the market over the last couple of years, is that capacity has been so tight and freight rates have just, they've skyrocketed. then you have so many new establishments setting up to try to take advantage of those market rates. But the very act of these carriers starting up adds capacity and alleviates the constraints that were causing the high rates. And so then you start to see a decline in spot rates that these small shippers are chasing after. You also potentially see, as we're going to be seeing coming into this recession, you'll see a decline in load volumes altogether. And it's going to be those small carriers that are going to be unable to continue to operate in the absence of that volume and those high market rates, that the larger carriers will be able to weather the storm, so to speak, for at least a period of time before they're in trouble and start having to cut jobs. And so there's just a lot of luck as to when you start your carrier and when you go to work for a carrier and what the volume is looking like in these macroeconomic factors.
Okay, that makes sense. And you know, what kind of network you have, what kind of connections you've made, you know, you could say that's luck, you say that's work, but you know, I feel like those also all kind of play into that. So when we talked a few weeks ago, we kind of stumbled on this topic where a medium size or a large carrier, they're not necessarily just going to go bankrupt and, you know, everyone's losing their jobs. It's more likely that a mid-sized or large fleet would instead get acquired or, you know, join a larger, more financially healthy fleet. Can you talk a little bit about that and why that's maybe one reason why we don't see the same amount of job destruction in large fleets or medium-sized fleets?
Absolutely. We've seen this play over and over where larger, you know, mid to large size carriers, as they, you know, kind of put out the flag that says, hey, we can't cover our expenses anymore. We're failing. You'll see these mega carriers come in and, you know, buy up their assets, buy up their business. And, you know, few of those jobs are actually destroyed. Whereas with the small carrier, there's nobody waiting to swoop in and consume their business because they don't have very much business. And so when, you know, those small carriers start to fail, they just fail and the jobs go away. There is at some point some other carrier probably going to come and, you know, pick up that capacity, but we don't see that same type of merger and acquisition activity happening for those small carriers. But you've seen over and over, we've seen these large carriers start to merge to try to, you know, grow revenue and gain economies of scale. And so it makes a lot of sense for these large carriers to do those things.
Okay. And is there anything different this time around with this current, you know, recession and slowdown in the trucking industry? Or do you kind of foresee the same sort of dynamics where small fleets will fail, folks will, you know, lose their jobs? Or is there anything different with this particular downturn in trucking we're seeing and how that might affect small fleets?
It seems like it's going to be following similar trends. We have seen carriers that have, you know, these mid to large carriers, a notable one shut operations just a couple months ago, and that business was consumed pretty immediately. So that looks like it's going to be following along the same route. I've been keeping an eye, although it's not a carrier, it's a broker, I've been keeping an eye on C.H. Robinson, but they're going through, you know, a relatively similar type of situation where their market, their rates went down, their expenses have stayed high, and they have had to make a lot of cuts in staffing. We'll see that likely trickle to their, you know, tens of thousands of carriers that they're contracted with as well that will, you know, would have likely been depending on some of that volume that they might not have anymore because they can't, you know, have been unable to manage their expenses. But then these small carriers were likely to see the exact same type of trend occur during this recession as we have in previous recessions, where they will try to hang on as long as they can to keep operating, try to cover their expenses. They'll take the market rates until those market rates match what their expenses are, and then maybe even a little bit lower in hopes that they'll be able to continue to operate. But it's not likely that they will be able to, and so we'll start to see that those small and young carriers go out of business as well.
I'm curious to what extent, and you know, we talked about this a few weeks ago, to what extent can the trucking industry operate without these types of, you know, small new fleets that, you know, maybe move loads, you know, below the cost or at cost? It kind of strikes me that it would be challenging for this industry to exist or to, you know, exist at the current cost structures and payments that it's at if there weren't, you know, this large chunk of carriers, of small carriers that are willing to move loads at or below cost, especially during, you know, tight economic times like what we're seeing right now. I'm just curious, to what extent do you think it's possible for, what would trucking look like if it weren't for this large section of the market that's willing to move freight at or below cost?
I think it would be... It would be quite challenging to watch. You have these small carriers who, you know, if they were not entering the market chasing the high rates and then ultimately taking the low rates, we might see actually the price of freight be very high for sustained periods of time, because it's these small carriers who are coming in and are causing the rates to go down and then have to, by extension, take these low rates. And I don't want to say that it's, you know, this problem of rates going down is the fault of small carriers. It's just economic, you know, theory is that as you add more capacity to the market, then the price will go down. And that happens. And what we see with the larger carriers is they tend to add more jobs later because they are trying to capitalize on those high rates, and then they'll start to create jobs when they feel like those high rates are going to be around for a while, whereas the smaller carriers may be chasing after these high rates and trying to get in there very quickly and kind of tend to flood the market. And so when they flood the market, though, they are going to take those break-even rates a lot more than the large carriers are, because the large for-hire carriers are also out there building contracts with shippers, long-term contracts, where as the spot rates fluctuate, they're still covering their costs for the most part with these contracts. The small carriers don't have the ability to do that because, again, they're having trouble getting business to begin with, let alone selling themselves as a reliable carrier that a shipper can depend on long term. So it really is to the benefit of these large carriers. These small carriers are there kind of taking whatever they can get, basically, whereas the larger carriers have the ability to pick and choose a little bit more. And it keeps the freight moving.
It's interesting. You mentioned the idea of rates being, you know, keeping at this sustained high level. And also, I definitely want to dig into what you were also saying about, you know, larger carriers being able to pick and choose. A few years ago, I think it was like 2019 or something, I talked to your co-author, Stephen Burks, about, you know, the truck driver shortage conversation. And, you know, one thought he proposed of how to, you know, permanently fix the retention issue, how to, you know, basically make the driver job a little bit more easy to do, more, you know, more of a friendly job essentially for people to hold on to, is just by it would require, you know, in addition to requiring, you know, pay in general to raise, it would also just require the cost of everything to be more expensive, because there's got to be some way to offset, you know, some of the changes that would need to happen in trucking in order for people to happily take on these jobs for decades and decades, and for people to stay in those jobs. So yeah, it's interesting to think about. Basically, the way to fix some of these issues would just be by making everything more expensive, which is probably not the answer people want, but that kind of seems like that's unfortunately the kind of the best solution I've come across.
Yeah, Steve and I have talked about these situations. You know, we're co-authoring in a couple other papers as well. And one of the things I'd like to point out is that we're talking about different issues here. We're talking, you know, the issue that you bring up with what Steve has discussed with you is about how you retain drivers in the trucking workforce. Whereas the issue that we've been talking about is carriers, you know, going out of business or growing. Certainly those carriers that want to grow are doing whatever they can to retain the drivers as much as possible. But the challenge here is that you have to have work for your drivers in order to retain them. If you do not have work, you can't pay them. And so when, you know, you have these business cycles, you know, go to a downturn, and the economy starts to tank, and loads, market rates go down, and load volumes go down. There's nothing, you're at that point not worried about driver turnover and how you're going to retain drivers. You're worried about how are you going to maintain solvency and continue to operate. And so that's a real challenge in trucking. Because it's, you know, and as Steve will tell you, it's a near perfect competition. There's not a lot of opportunity for carriers to raise rates beyond the market, because there's always going to be some other carrier that will step in with a lower rate and take the volume. So it's the, you know, I have other research that talks about the importance of, you know, paying drivers not only more, but paying them more than, you know, the competitive markets like construction, mining, manufacturing. You know, that is important, but it has to be a whole market shift. It can't be just individual carriers within the market, because if they raise prices, they'll just be priced out. So that's a real challenge. So there are certainly things that we can do to help reduce turnover when we have the freight to support maintaining and retaining drivers. When that freight disappears, though, all of these turnover and retention issues kind of go out the door, because there's just nothing you can do to keep them on your staff, even if those drivers wanted to stay.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's interesting. Yeah, I should have Steven on to talk about some of the other, you know, retention and turnover. So yeah, there's definitely a lot more for us to dig into. But we've got just a minute left in this conversation. I know you have another working paper coming out soon. What can you share about that? What should we be looking out next from you?
Sure. So in the next paper that we're preparing to submit, we're looking at that drive demand again. So how do these industries generate freight for trucking and thus increase trucking employment? But with an interesting dynamic that there are certain industries that they depend on the capacity from these for-hire carriers. And so as they grow their freight volumes, help generate freight capacity. but then are also in these compound relationships with these carriers, and that they're also sometimes competing with the carriers for the workforce because they have their own private fleets that they're trying to operate. And so we look at that dynamic and have some pretty interesting findings about how different industries generate employment in trucking differently because of these compound relationships, where sometimes you're generating demand that needs capacity to meet that demand, and sometimes you're poaching these drivers from the for-hire carriers to fill your private fleet.
Okay, sounds like we'll need to have you back on once that paper comes out. Jonathan, thanks so much for joining Modes, and hope to see you again on here soon. And thank you, everyone, for joining the show and for tuning in.